Good morning. I want to echo thanks to the New Ancients for leading us in worship and music. It's always beautiful. And the privilege we have to gather and pray and to come before God, consider His Word. We'll get to do that again this morning. My name's Tom, if we haven't met, and privileged to serve here with you and for you. We continue today in, as Brian said, we're in a series of four key verbs we hope all of you come to learn and embrace from the Word of God. They're verbs that describe what it means to follow Jesus. As I was pondering this a couple weeks ago, I was driving in the area here, as most of you do. In fact, many of you drove here today, right? And a lot to be observed about ourselves and others when we drive, isn't there? So one of the things I noticed was driving around, many people seem to be in a hurry. Have you noticed that? In fact, I noticed a couple people then that it was such a hurry, it's like a race to get to the red light first, as if that would help, and get there first in order to stop. And I was watching some others drive, and I was in a bit of a hurry myself, and this thought came to my mind. It was Thomas Carlyle, who one time observed this. He said, "The more we lose our way, the faster we go." And there's a lot to that, isn't there? In fact, many, if we stopped people, which we wouldn't be able to because they're in a hurry, but if we were able to stop and talk with people on the road, or even among us this morning, if we were to ask one another, "Well, so where are you going?" Many of us might say, "Well, I'm not all that sure, but I know I'm going fast." You know, because we're kind of pressured and often in a hurry. You know that the Bible talks quite often, Jesus talked about going. And so we've titled today, "To Go," because He talked about when we are to go, but He did not say, "Go where you're going as quick as you can." He said some specific things about how we are to go as we're followers of Jesus. So it's a simple subject this morning, but I'd like all of you to be able to leave here today saying, Jesus talked about going, and how is it, and when we follow Jesus, how is it that we go? And what does that mean in our daily lives? Today, we'll see that Jesus' followers go with a purpose. Have you thought about that recently? Wherever you go, wherever you're going, the Bible invites you and I to go with a purpose. It's an everyday thing and an everyone thing. And it starts in the Bible. Remember in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 4, after some early things, Jesus is beginning his teaching ministry, ready to begin that, and he comes across some fishermen, which would not have been unusual back in the day. In fact, if you were there and I were there, we'd probably smell the fish or even the fish on these guys' hands. And a couple of their names were Peter and Andrew, and the father had already spoken to Jesus. Jesus knew that Peter and Andrew would be his followers. And so what was the first invitation that Jesus gave to Peter and Andrew? Do you remember that? In Matthew 4, verse 19, it should be up here, I think, on the screen for you, or you could find it in your Bible, Matthew 4, 19. The first invitation, Jesus said, "Well, come and follow me." And in fact, he was speaking to fishermen, so he spoke in their language and said, "I will make you now fishers of men." There's this higher, there's nothing wrong with catching fish, but there's going to be a new purpose, a greater purpose, a higher thing that I'm going to invite you to and call you into. Come and follow me. Now, if you think about that for a minute, that was Jesus' initial invitation. What he did not say to Peter and Andrew, nor would he say to us, is only, "Well, come and know more about me." Although that's not all that bad, to know more about Jesus. But what he invites us to is to come and follow him, to walk with him, to know him personally. That's what he invites you and me into. So the initial invitation is to come and follow Jesus. We know that from the Gospel of Matthew. But then if you're like me, and if you're like Peter and Andrew and those other people, you might say, well, now what? Okay, we're learning more. We're following along. We're saying there's something about Jesus. I'm interested in following him. Now what? We know that this was a big deal even for the initial followers of Christ, right? Remember, they're called apostles, if you've been around the church much, and they wrote much of what we have as the Word of God. But even them, when they personally walked with and heard Jesus speak and teach, they were still quite confused, were they not, along the way? In fact, after 3 years of that, and Jesus went to the cross and died for us that we might have life, you know what the followers of Jesus were doing then? John 20 says they were hiding out behind locked doors in a room because they did not know what to do next. And so some of us are like that. We say, well, I'm interested in following Jesus, but this isn't what I expected. What were the early followers of Jesus expecting? That Jesus would probably become the king and take, you know, like deal with the government of the day, the Roman Empire. There was a problem. But he came actually not to take over the Roman government. He came what? To be a sacrificial death for us that we might have life. The early followers of Jesus were still just beginning to understand that. And he went to the cross and he rose. He came back again. And then after that, he gave them another invitation. Remember what it is? At the very end of Matthew, there's this profound verse that is actually our purpose. Now, and if you'd hung around Jesus for a while and you were following him, you'd really want to know what his final words were going to be to you, right? Have you ever been around somebody important and they're going to give you their final words? Maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe a mentor. And their final words are going to be compelling. And Jesus' final words to his followers are recorded right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And it reads this way. It's up for you again. It says this. So go, there's our verb, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples, that's the purpose, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That was the invitation given. So Jesus did not say, just go without knowing your direction and get there fast. What he did say was what? Go, and what's the purpose? The idea in the text is, as you are going, be making disciples. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're asked to continue going wherever you go in life, but have a focus of be making disciples or other followers of Jesus. Is that on your mind? How much is that on your mind? You all go, right? Where do you go? You go in the neighborhood. You go to the gas station. Some of you still even go to a grocery store, although that's starting to change, right? We don't go to stores quite as much as we used to because we order online, right? But we still go. You go to an office. You go to a school. You go, where do you go? You go to the roads, to the work site. You're on the go. Jesus is basically saying, as you go, make disciples. You go with a purpose if we're a follower of Jesus. Now, John, probably Jesus' best friend and the other disciple, he put it this way in John 15, 16, where John remembered Jesus probably one day looked right at them and said this. It's like, don't forget it. He said, now I chose you. This is John 15, 16. Jesus said, as followers of me, I chose you and I appointed you to go. There it is again, right? To go and what? Bear fruit. It's the same idea, different words. Bear spiritual fruit. He doesn't say, like, become a tree and grow oranges. He's saying, as you go, bear fruit. Be productive spiritually for the kingdom of God. I chose you. Have you thought about that? As a follower of Jesus, God actually has chosen you. He knows you by name. He's chosen you and he's appointed you to go wherever you go, and as you go, to bear fruit. So what's the simple idea today? And then I want to give you a couple stories to illustrate this and a couple invitations. Because we need to know how this is lived out as part of the great joy and opportunity that we have as followers of Christ. Followers of Jesus go with a purpose. I hope you don't forget that. Followers of Jesus, by the way, do not decide whether or not to go to church. That's a common misunderstanding. The Bible, Jesus nor the Bible, never says, if you're a follower of mine, like, go to church. Actually, the Bible says, if you're a follower of mine, you are church, your church, and you are to go and make disciples or help other people know how to follow me. That's Jesus' invitation, right? How do we do that? If we're followers of Jesus and we wake up this morning and say, Lord, I want to follow you well and invite others into that as also. Do you do that? Do we do that? That's Jesus' final word, his final invitation. Go and make disciples. So as I was thinking about that the last couple weeks, I thought, what are some examples from our lives that have been a little bit surprising? Because it's just the everyday thing. You know, we every day we go, do we not? Almost every day you get up and you go somewhere. So I thought back, what have been some of the surprises? So here's a couple in our lives. When I was in graduate school, in seminary, and if you've ever done different graduate schools, you know it's like often a challenge, right? Because you're trying to like do what you need to do in graduate school. I was working almost full time. I was still single when I was in seminary. But I lived with a couple other guys. We had this house. And anybody know the ministry Young Life? It's like a ministry to high schoolers. And it started in Dallas where I went to seminary. And our house was a Young Life house. We had great fun. So with the limited time we had, we bought a little bit of food. And whenever we weren't in class or doing stuff for school or off at work, between the three of us, our doors were open and high school kids showed up. And looking back, you know why they showed up? Especially because the guys I lived with, they loved high schoolers. They cared about them, genuinely. And I did too. The other reason is that kids showed up is that we had food. You know about that, right? Okay? In fact, some of those days, I remember we'd have these discussions, myself and my roommates, like, we're barely getting our bills paid, much less can buy our food. Why are we buying food for all these high school kids that come over? They eat all of our food, you know? So the reason I'm telling you that story is one of those guys that used to come over to the house, I learned 30-some years later this story. Because I ran into a fellow in Colorado, and this guy that used to hang out at our house had a very unusual name. And I heard this same name and thought, what are the odds that 30-something, could he be here? I'm not going to use his name because I don't have his permission to tell this story. But this is a true story. So I heard this guy's name in Colorado, 30, and I said, could that be the same guy that used to be in Young Life back in North Dallas area? You know it is. So we got together. We actually, he attends the church that's now kind of our home-based church in Colorado, of all things. And he was telling me a story. He said, Tom, you don't understand it, you and Stevie, because when I came to that Young Life campaigners meeting that night, if something didn't happen to change, I was really thinking about ending my life. It was that messed up for me as a high school kid. He said, did you know that? I said, I'd never heard that. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, Stevie kind of like talked with me that there's, you know, some other things, a different way to live life and kind of who Jesus is and what he'd done. And like that intrigued me and I'm in. I wanted to learn about that. That night, I decided I wanted to become a follower of Jesus. I said, really? I said, yeah. And he said, now, you don't remember that night, do you? I said, I don't remember that night at Campaigners Club. But I said, you know what I remember? I remember you were always out of our house eating all of our food. And he said, that's true. He said, I remember that too. But you know the other thing? Is he was over. You know what he would do? I remember him to this day. Because we'd sit in our little living room on these old stuffed chairs, and he was full of questions. When he didn't have a question, I'd ask him a question. Because he wanted to know, is there some other way to live life than a crazy, obnoxious rat race? He said, I'm not interested. He's a bright guy. And we used to sit and talk and talk and talk. 30-some years later, said, you have no idea what, you know, Steve and the conversations along with you guys in your house, you have no idea how God used that. By the way, in the Denver, Colorado area now, one of the things he does, he's a chaplain for the FBI. And we had no idea. So now I'm telling you that story because I want you to stop and think. You have no idea. When you work with MOPS here, Mothers of Preschool, when you serve our kids here, when you're engaging with high school students here, ladies, when you're meeting together, whatever it is, I mean, you have no idea. See, when you're following Jesus and you're inviting others to follow Jesus, you don't know what may happen, do you? Another one of my fun stories is in Phoenix. Well, I had the opportunity to pastor there some years ago, and we thought that back in the day, oh, well, this is great because, you know, things happened and churches were planted and all this kind of stuff. But we got to go back and visit some people last year from Phoenix, and I was reminded of this. You know what people remember? The way that I think the biggest influence that Jan and I had on people back in that day was that some of the women started a play group with preschoolers. Our oldest was preschool, and some of the really bright ladies, godly women, they said, let's have a play group. We want our kids to make friends, have fun together, and learn about Jesus and what it means to follow him. Do you know? There was no discussion about the church plants that happened, but you know, decades later, there was a lot of discussion about that play group and how those ladies, and some of you are there, tired as all get out. You got preschool kids, you know, and just tired. But they had this play group, and that built into these kids. I wish I had the time to tell you what those kids out of that play group are doing today. It's tremendous. Why? Because a group of women said, let's follow Jesus and let's help our preschool kids begin to do that too. They were making disciples. See what I mean? It's every day. And it's every one of us. I'll tell you one more. This is a current one. I was in a meeting in Colorado not long ago, and I heard two pastors tell the story, and it just rocked my world. These pastors said, yeah, we both got new mayors of our town. And somehow we got this idea. One's in the Denver area, one's in Colorado Springs. But they both did kind of the same thing because there was a new mayor in town. So they got this idea. I'll go visit them and say, hey, welcome. Thanks for what you do. Could I ask you a question? So they got together with the mayor. And the mayors thanked them actually for their visit. But you know what the pastors asked them? What could I do or what might we do as a church that would actually help? Could you give me some advice? See, that's a good question. You know what? Both mayors said the same thing. Two different cities, two different times, two mayors told them the same thing. Can you guess what it was? The mayors paused as I heard the story. I wasn't there. But these pastors said, the mayor paused and said, you know what I'd like you to do, pastor? I'd like for you and your people to be good neighbors. Well, they walked out and said, well, that's almost like a word from God. Because you know what? You know who else said that? Like Jesus said that. So these pastors were saying, the mayors just ask us to do what Jesus has already asked us to do. Love your neighbors, right? Well, how well are we doing that? That's part of making disciples every day, everyone, along the way. How do we love our city? How are we loving our neighbors? Go, as you go, be making disciples. Many stories we could tell. here are the common themes. We had some interesting conversations after the first hour about this with several people. Folks say, well, like, so what do? And I'm figuring this out. I hope you are. Jesus said, go. His last go, and as you go, make disciples. So here are two things I'm doing. I'm going to invite you into this. Every morning when I wake up, I'm praying two things. I dare you to do this. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to know Christ and to follow Jesus. Would you help me be attentive today to who I can influence to become a Jesus follower? I dare you to pray that. You'll have no idea. The second thing that I pray is, Father, I'm not smart enough, good enough, anything enough to get that done by myself. So would you empower me with your Spirit? Give me your eyes to see people like you see them. Dare you to pray that. God will start using you in ways that you would have no idea. Every day, along the way, every one of us. How beautiful that can be. That's the invitation to go. And as you go with the purpose, and that the Bible says is to help others follow Jesus, be making disciples. The other thing that occurs to me when we do this well, all the way from my Dallas story to the Phoenix story to the Colorado story, different stages of our life as we've thought back, you could tell stories too. But you know what the common threads are, I think? When we do the kind of things that, what did Jesus do? When he engaged with people, he often asked them good questions. My friend in Colorado that I knew as a high schooler, he said, I'll never forget the questions that you used to ask. Huh. Pray about asking good questions when you come across people as you go. At the store, at wherever you, at the office, on campus. Ask good questions. Why? Because then hopefully we can discern what real needs are. Some people will talk with you. People want to be known and be cared about. And Jesus did that. He asked questions and hearts opened up and real needs were discerned. And I challenge you to do that. And see what God would do through you as you, every day, along the way, every one of you are involved in going, not just going faster, but going and making disciples, inviting others into this adventure of following Jesus. Nothing like it. Those early followers of Jesus, they said this, that was life-giving, and this is so significant, I'm willing to die for it now. That's what the early followers did, because it was so profound, bringing meaning to other people's lives, going and making disciples. As the band comes up, we're going to do two things now today before we go. One is sing and worship, and the other is come to the table. And if the whole thing of following Jesus is kind of new to you, that's great. We'd love to talk with you more about that. And guess what? We'll have some good questions to ask you, I hope. But because there's no other adventure like the adventure of following Jesus and then, as a disciple, inviting others to come and follow him as well. So Matt last week talked about connecting with Jesus. Today we talked about going, and as we go, be making disciples. And this is what the Bible says about the opportunity we have to follow Jesus and to live into life in fullness. Father, thank you for the very simple and yet profound challenge that you have left us with. Jesus' last words to his followers were to go, as you go, be making disciples. And may that be more true of us as well. We celebrate who you are and what you have done now in song and at the Lord's table. Amen.